And some news on the condition of Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon. His condition, they say tonight, has worsened. His life is now in danger. In a CAT scan of Sharon's stomach, doctors discovered that now his digestive tract had been seriously damaged. In light of that, they have immediately operated on him. Boy, he is a fighter, though. Sharon's life is in danger, they said. His condition is critical. The flow of blood to Sharon's digestive tract led to the deterioration in his condition. He's 77 years old, suffered a severe stroke on January 4th. He has been unconscious ever since. A CT scan of his brain earlier this week showed that he remained in serious but stable condition. So he is slowly fading away. The special hotline for you for the graveyard workers is 818-817-0021. And I shall return with another hour of Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie, along with all of you. Let's go back to the phones. Wildcard line, you're on Coast to Coast. Good morning.
Good morning, George.
Hi there. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from sunny Seattle. Well, my name is Joseph.
Hey, Joseph.
We've had two gorgeous sunny days, and it's been a long...
That's unusual for Seattle,
yeah,
isn't it?
This time of year, yeah.
Yeah, sure is. What's going on?
Well, you've been talking about... this meeting with this guy who channels, and about 30 years ago, I was involved in a couple of exorcisms, and I mean, it really threw off my whole belief system.
And when you say you were involved in it, in what form were you involved?
I was part of a prayer group who prayed for people.
Okay.
And we did too. And then I went to visit a Catholic abbot, the monastery, and you know, he said it's equivalent of us doing brain surgery in the spiritual realm
without having a degree in surgery.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we don't know what the hell we're doing. Excuse me, I probably can't sit on.
Well, that you can get away with.
Yeah,
that's about it, though.
But I mean, it was like I guess my view of the whole spiritual realm was pretty simplistic up to that point.
Are you saying that I should not attempt this interview with this channeler?
I would not do it. I mean, it's like, you know, like playing Russian roulette.
I mean, what's the downside for me?
Well, I mean, the downside is I don't think he's real. I just don't think that devil would work this way, okay?
Yeah, well, and we have to go on the basis that he could be.
But if he is.
Yeah, exactly.
If he is, I mean, I could see you losing everything.
What do you mean by everything?
Well, just imagine this show, and all of a sudden, you're so overwhelmed by this evil that you can't focus on doing this anymore. I mean, the show is really important.
I know, and it's important to everybody, and it's
right.
important
I mean,
to me.
I mean, you know, and I think... You know, one of the themes of the show, and I really buy into it, is the end times. And I think, you know, Charles Upton did a really good scenario of how different faith experiences view this. I mean, eventually we're all going to hit an end time.
I mean, do you think there's a danger of losing me to this possibility of this devil?
Well...
And what's he going to do, possess me?
No, I don't think. You know,
why doesn't he want a priest there? That's
yeah,
interesting.
See, I mean, I know some good priests, but I mean, quite frankly, I would rather have a holy man there,
like a shaman type.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't want any of that there.
I know. I've been following your conversation.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's one of those things where it's a deal breaker, if. If I want to go ahead with this, he doesn't want anybody there of any religion, of any faith, other than me, and I think he'll permit me to bring Tom, our producer, and we just you know, to either do the interview or do the discussion, whatever it's going to be. It is perplexing and intriguing at the same time.
Well, I'm sure. I mean, like you said, it could be the interview of a history.
Here's the other thing, though. Are we to believe anything that, well, assuming it is the devil, are we to believe anything he says?
Well,
the great deceptor, isn't he?
Right, but the part of why deception works is there's an element of truth in it.
That's a good point. And it's our job to find that.
And I mean, that's where a holy person, discernment, I mean, I'm an introvert. I don't think well on my feet. I mean, I've got to pull back. And process this before I can make some decisions. You're an extrovert. I can tell by the way you're on the air talking to people.
Sure, everybody in this business is.
Yeah, I mean normally I'm not up this late at night, but I felt really compelled to do it and express this.
Well, I appreciate your advice, and it is not falling on deaf ears by any means.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know what I'm going to do, honestly. I mean,
I hear you're going to do it, I'll be praying for you.
All right, I appreciate that,
quite
too.
Quite frankly, I wouldn't listen to the interview.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate you being candid about it.
Yeah.
Okay, next up, let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Hello? Gotta let you go. Too bad. You're probably on hold for an hour or two. Graveyard Hotline, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, my name is Ryan. I'm calling from Minnesota.
Hello, Ryan. How are you?
I'm doing good. How about you, George?
Good.
Good. Well, okay. I'm a security guard, an overnight security guard for an auto auction place.
Okay.
And I got a story it's weird. Anyway. Basically what happens is I got tow truck drivers that bring in their cars at night. They drop them off, you know, they get weighed in and they come in the next day or whenever and basically get paid for their weight of the car, right?
Sure.
Well, I had one night I was working and this tow truck driver comes by and he doesn't stop to get weighed in. He just pulls right into the lot. Well, the crazy thing is he's got this hearse on the back of this tow truck.
One of those old ones or a new one?
An older one, like one of the really old ones.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I mean, this thing's got to weigh a ton, you know, but he doesn't stop to get weight. He's supposed to anyway. I try flagging him down. He doesn't stop. And he's all raggedy looking in the truck. I'm like, okay, whatever. I'll catch him on his way out. He comes back out and he doesn't stop again, but he looks at me. And he doesn't have the hearse anymore. He looks at me. He's got these wicked red eyes.
Oh,
I scared the crap out of me.
Oh, my God.
I was like, you know, and the guy doesn't stop. He just kind of looks at me all creepy-like and then keeps going and drives off. I'm like, well, that was just odd, right? So I go back to try and find this hearse that he, you know, left in the lot to make sure he's not dropping off, you know, stuff that he's not supposed
sure.
to, you know, bodies or whatever. I go back, no hearse. Can't find it. It's not back there.
And it's not like you couldn't find it, right? I mean, you know.
No, it's not like it was. I mean, the lot isn't that big.
Yeah, he can't hide the thing.
He wasn't back there all that long, just long enough, what it would seem, to drop the hearse off and drive out. And I went back there, hearse is gone. I mean, you could see the tire tracks in the snow. It was just the strangest thing I've ever
seen. Do you guys have a video camera out there in the lot by any chance?
We do have video cameras. I can't actually get to seeing the footage on the.
I would have loved to have seen whether he came in with this thing, at least on camera.
Well, right. I would like to personally. But I mean, I don't deal with any of the employees that actually work here. By the time I get here, they're gone, and I leave before they get here. So.
And I guess you don't want to go back to them and say, can we look at the tape of this thing? Because.
Well, I never. Yeah. And the thing is, I didn't report it. I mean, there was nothing to report. What do I say? You know? So, well, and it's kind of weird. My supervisor listens to the show. I hope he's not listening now.
He may be. You got a pretty distinctive voice.
Yeah, I bet.
And you're in Minnesota.
Yeah, that's true. So, but yep, that's my story.
Okay, different. Thanks.
Thanks. Yep, bye.
The Graveyard Hotline. Next up, Wildcard Line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, my name is Jim in Los Angeles.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Yeah,
I kind of had kind of a psychic experience a couple of weeks ago. I was at the, you know, where the Promenade is in Santa Monica.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm training him for to work in TV and film, so I'm getting him noise training and crowd training.
Okay.
So I take, he's leash trained, so I just walk him through there. And that day, he was acting really freaky, not wanting to do it at all. You know how horses, when they don't want to do something, he's acting that way.
Pulls back.
So I take him through and pet him, and he sees, you know, just a normal thing, and he's walking around, and we're about heading back, and then I notice this lady's following me and yelling at me, and then she's trying to take my cat from me. She's one of the mentally ill people hanging out down there, and, you know, she's about in her 50s, and she just would not leave me alone, started following me around and chasing me, and I couldn't run or anything because I had my cat with me, and
yeah.
I couldn't, you know, defend myself even. I had this, because I had this cat, all of a sudden I have to be a shield from her. And I was asking people to call the cops, and no one would do it. I finally got to a payphone and dialed 911, and she was kept clawing at me and grabbing, you know, grabbing at the cat and so forth. And the police showed up and said, "Oh, we know this lady," and they hauled, they, you know,
took her away.
Yeah, they said she's mentally ill.
What an experience! Yeah,
but it was just a horrible experience. But I was thinking, well, he must have known something was going to happen. And one of the ladies that was. I talked to her afterwards. She says, "Yeah, the animals, they just know, you know." I was telling her.
Oh, yeah. That's why he was edgy.
Acting funny even before. But the weird thing is, no one even helped. You know, I guess that's the way LA is, you know.
Well, you know, you're right. It is strange. But, you know, I found that to be the case in most cities. There aren't a lot of people that will just dive in and help other people. I mean, I don't know why not.
I went to a security guard, and he wouldn't do anything. He just sat there and looked at me.
Just sat there and looked at
me. Really made me mad.
Yeah, I mean, the lady could have had a knife, for crying out loud.
That's my big concern, because they sometimes carry razors and things, you know, because they're street, you know, street people carry.
Yeah. So they'll take her away. Poor woman, she's homeless, no doubt.
Yeah. And, you know the situation down there.
Yeah.
And they said they're going to take her. They asked me if it's. I went to church. Press charges, and I said, just get her off the street, basically, after we talked. You know, there's no point in it.
The mayor talked about the trying to do something innovative for homeless, and they're going to try to, you know, crack down on it and do whatever they need to do to help the people as well. We'll see if that happens.
Yeah, you know, it's like a magnet for that kind of, and there's also a lot of, those lifeguards told me there's a lot of problems with the pier.
Oh, sure.
With drug activity. And he told me it puts them at risk because they have to deal with that, you know.
Well, of course, one of the reasons, too, is because the weather overall is so nice. You know, people are sleeping right out there on the beach.
Yeah.
You know what's amazing, too, is how many people are homeless. That's an incredible story all by itself. They're all over the place.
Yeah, in this town, it's not that hard.
Yep, everywhere. All right, thanks. But, you know, it's everywhere. New York. They're living in, you know, old tunnels and in boxes, for crying out loud. How would you like to live in a box all your life? Live in a box. East of the Rockies, welcome to Coast to Coast. You're on the air. Hi there.
Good morning, George.
Morning.
Hey, I have a couple questions for you.
Sure.
The first one I wanted to ask was, I was wondering if you knew that if anybody that got abducted, you know, by UFO, if they were ever wearing a crucifix?
I don't know.
Okay. And I also want to ask you, go from exorcism to UFOs. No wonder I can't sleep. I wanted to ask you, do you know when Malachi Martin passed away?
I can get that. It was at least 7-8 years ago. At
that
least
long ago.
Yeah, I'll get the day for you in a minute.
I read one of his books. I got halfway through, and it's still in my mother's attic. I couldn't finish it.
Oh, he was one of the best.
Oh,
you know,
I'm telling you.
Some of those interviews that Art had with him are as classic as anything I've ever heard on radio or television, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I want to subscribe to your newsletter as soon as I can get the gas company out of my pockets here.
Yeah, well, good luck with that.
Oh, I'm telling you. I wanted to tell you, I don't know if I should bring this up or not, but you know that Linda that you had on earlier?
Yeah.
There was a gentleman by the name of Don that called in. I mean, his name was Wayne, but he sounded just like Don. Was that
like,
just me?
Like Don, the guy he interviewed?
Yes. Was that just me, or did you catch on to that?
I did not catch that.
Okay, you may want to play that back. But I also wanted to tell you, I have a 9-year-old niece, and she's seeing dead people. So wherever she points at my sister's house, my sister will get her digital camera and take pictures.
Does she talk to him?
Yeah, she talks to them. She says that there's a girl that comes through the wall and goes right through the floor. She described my grandmother in pink, and that's how we buried her. So everywhere she points, my sister will take a picture, and there's just orbs everywhere. And I was wondering if...
He died in 1999, by the way. Father Martin.
Oh, okay, 99.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
July 27th, 1999.
I can't believe no one even made a big deal about it. I never seen it in a paper, never seen that in a newspaper.
No, I know Art talked about it, but that was it.
Yeah, I think, you know, you think someone like him would make it in newspapers or something, you know, but I really enjoyed that last night. And I want to tell you, when you were playing that exorcism from Russia.
Oh, that was scary.
My husband and I, it got about 30 degrees in here. We were freezing.
Oh, it started kind of calm, and then all of a sudden when this person started howling and grunting, then it got scary.
It got so cold in here. Our furnace didn't shut off for about the next 2 hours. I was wondering if that happened to anybody else.
Well, it may have. I got a couple emails on people like that, and they thanked me for putting out a warning about not listening. Some people took advantage of that, too.
And it didn't help either with our home being built in 1898.
No, it doesn't. Your heating bill must be exorbitant. You won't be getting the After Dark newsletter for quite some time unless you get some insulation in your house. Next up, let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah.
My name is Gary.
Hello, Gary. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm from Benson, Arizona.
Uh-huh.
And I thought this was important enough to bring this up to you. My dog is a sensitive, and she seems to react to forthcoming
earth changes.
Yeah, and catastrophes.
Well, most animals are pretty good, but you apparently have read the signs of your dog.
Evidently, the last tsunami, 5-6 days prior, she does a whole assortment of things that are very dramatic, and then. Shortly after the catastrophe, she kind of stops completely.
So what's going on now with her?
Well, for about the last 5-6 days, what she does is she hides under tables. She hides in any time a closet's open, so go in there, hide in there. I mean, really hide. She scratches on the carpet, trying to dig underneath the floor to hide.
Now, how long before an event occurs when she starts this?
Oh, about 5-6 days.
All right, and she started this when?
Let's see, that was, I think it was Saturday or Sunday.
Of last week?
Yeah.
So we're really close then. We're right in this window.
Exactly, and she goes under chairs in the corner, and then she's puffing and huffing like, you know, she's frantic or scared to death. And nothing you do can stop her. It's like continuous.
Can you determine whereabouts on the planet based on the activity of the dog?
No, I sure wish I could.
All right.
I do know that small things she doesn't pick up. Like there's been small earthquakes and things.
All right, so whatever's happening...
It's going to be big.
It's going to be a big one. And you're convinced it will happen?
99.9%, absolutely.
Well, that
something's
is...
coming, George.
You got to do me a favor. If something happens, we've now found ourselves an earthquake-type dog. You need to keep in touch with me.
I sure will.
She may be as good as any predictor we've ever talked to.
I sure will.
Okay, appreciate that.
Thank you, George.
All right, we'll find out because he said the dog's acting up and we're in that window. I'll be right back just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. We'll continue with our final segment of Open Lines. I'm George Norrie. Hey, I'm proud to say, by the way, my very first book, along with my co-author, Bill Burns, is at the publisher right now. They're now working on a cover, so very, very soon that book will be published. It's called Worker in the Light. I'll give you more information on it when it is out. I think you'll love it, and it's my very first. Bill, of course, is a New York Times bestseller. He wrote The Day After Roswell, so that'll give you a general idea of what you can expect with this this novel called Worker in the Light. It's nonfiction, and I'll tell you about that a little bit later on. Don't forget this weekend, Saturday, 8 hours of live coast-to-coast programming beginning at 6 o'clock Pacific time with Ian Punnett, Coast to Coast Live, and then Art Bell, and then Art will be back on Sunday, and I'll be back on Monday. And also over the weekend, I'll be at the LAX Hilton for the Conscious Life Expo. If you need some more information, you can call 800-367-5777 or go to the coasttocoastam.com website. There is a direct link there to the Conscious Life Expo. Come on out there. I'm always willing to sit down and chat, so come on by and say hi. Back in a moment. Back to the phones we go for the final segment. Wildcard Line, welcome to the program. Hi there, where are you?
This is Peggy. I'm in Colorado.
Hi, Peggy.
And I'm calling to tell you that, first of all, you don't have to channel Satan. Satan can show up. A friend of mine's sister, their Mormon family, and the sister was saying how she admired Satan after they had a discussion about how he refused to obey and so forth, the
and
whole story.
She admired him? Wow.
She said she thought maybe she admired his courage. So that night, this entity showed up, very handsome, very charming angel, and completely appealing, not at all. So Satan does not have to show up in a terrible form, and he does not have to be channeled.
He is the great deceptor.
And if I were you, I wouldn't do it.
Would you, if I go ahead and do it, Peggy, would you listen to it or not?
I probably will start to listen. I'm not promising I would sit through the whole thing.
I understand, and I have no idea how long it'll last, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, and so at any rate, but he can be charming, and I sometimes wonder perhaps if he doesn't get into our government affairs once in a while, and we don't have something demonic going on in our government, but I don't know. At any rate, I just wanted to tell you that, George, what had happened to this young teenager.
Okay, thanks, Peggy.
Okay, honey, bye-bye.
All right, you take care, and thanks for the advice. I do appreciate it. Wildcard Line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Steve calling from just down the river below Philadelphia.
Oh, sure, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good.
But for several years now, my wife and I have constantly been hearing this mystery hum. Comes from outside the house.
A lot of people have heard this in Indiana. They've heard it in Kansas, and so you're hearing it up there in Pennsylvania as well, huh?
Yeah, we're kind of in a strategic place. We're near the Boeing assembly plant where they make the Osprey and we're close to the Philadelphia airport and just downriver from the Philadelphia shipyard where they have that big so-called mothballed fleet, which, you know, could go into action at short notice.
Does it sound like somebody's digging underground?
No, it sounds like a low pulsed tone.
Just a low pulse. All right.
It's well within the range of hearing, but it has intelligence. Sometimes it's coming every couple of seconds. Sometimes the beeps last for 100 seconds, even 2 minutes.
What do you think it is, if you had to guess?
I believe it's an active sonar. I saw something on World News Tonight a few years ago that was causing havoc in the Caribbean, and they played a few beeps from it. Sounds just like it's a penetrating radar, or sonar rather, that they're using probably to monitor river traffic.
You might be right. Maybe they're trying to monitor us.
Maybe so, because, you know, like your guest Nick Begich said the other night, they can modulate any signal.
Does it hurt when you hear it?
It doesn't hurt. It's kind of soothing. It sounds like an ocean liner in the distance.
Yeah, but it's constant, isn't it?
It's constant, and you can get tired of hearing it after a while. Earplugs don't help because earplugs tend to shut out everything except this low voice.
You know, sometimes when you hear these vibrations, you can sometimes feel the concussion on your chest. Do you feel this?
No, it's not that loud, but we hear it all over the neighborhood, outside, different places we go. It's still there.
How long has it been going on?
Several years.
Several years? Has anybody been to a doctor of the ears or someone who an audiologist to see if they've heard anything?
No, but I'll tell you, I've been to an audiologist myself and had my ears tested when I was working for the railroad.
Yeah.
And I tested at the lower threshold that the machine could produce. I heard every tone they
had
to play.
Okay, you maybe you're pretty sensitive. Other people hear this then, other than your wife and you?
Well, that's why I'm calling, because I haven't heard reports. I Don't know anybody else that hears it.
Maybe they
have their TV on all the time.
In the greater Philadelphia area.
And you hear it more on a misty, foggy night.
Interesting. Okay. We'll put out the call and see if anybody checks in with us on that.
Okay, or sends me. I'd sure appreciate it. I'm hoping somebody's going to call up and
all right, very good. And if not tonight, because we're running out of time, maybe during the course of the week, so keep listening. Thanks, Steve. First-time caller line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Brandon in Colorado.
Hi, Brandon.
Hi there. The main reason I'm calling is to advise you against this interview with the gentleman who can channel the devil. Couple reasons.
All right.
First off, you know, there's no reason that anybody would need or want to talk to the devil for any reason. So the first question that should go through your mind is, what exactly would this person be doing this for? You know, what does he hope to gain through this for you, for himself, for anybody?
Mm-hmm.
Second is, how do you know this person couldn't be Satan himself trying to, you know, affect your mind?
Well, I don't. That's or that the person's mentally ill. I don't know that either.
Exactly. If you saw that movie Patch Adams, you know, where Robin Williams' girlfriend gets lured in by that guy and, you know, ends up getting killed because of it. So more or less, I'm calling because I'm concerned about you. I don't want to ruin your show or ruin a good interview, but... You know, I'm more concerned about you as a person by doing this and what you could be opening yourself up to.
All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate this. And believe me, I'm going to be putting this under deep consideration, especially with the calls we're getting tonight.
Okay. Well, thank you for the time,
right,
George, and I'll be praying for you.
Okay. You have a good weekend. If I do it, I will need as much strength as we can gather on this thing. Graveyard Shift, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George.
So what kind of a graveyard shift do we have here?
My name is Raleigh. I work at a lumber mill that's approximately over 100 years old. I'm calling out of Molalla, Oregon.
Are you working late night?
I am.
So the old mill goes 24/7, huh?
It runs until 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, but the guards are here 24 hours a day.
Well, it's good to know that we've got a plant that functions in the United States still. You know what?
Oh, absolutely. One of the stories I've had a few occurrences here where I'd be in a room and I'd hear a door open and close. There's no wind. Hear doors opening and closing, and Lord knows how many people have actually passed away here. I am aware of one where a gentleman was electrocuted a few years back, and when I came to work here, they said, oh, beware of the ghost. Yeah.
You didn't believe him, did you?
Well, not at the time.
No.
I had to come to work early one day, and I went into the break room, and I laid down, and I had a small bottle of soda pop, and I laid it next to me, and I went to take a drink, and my bottle was sitting upside down on the cap, which is pretty, I've tried to do it and it won't balance.
And there's no way you did it.
No. And it didn't freak me out or anything. I figured it's a practical joke. And I looked around, there's nobody else.
Nobody's there.
And, but we, other guards have said they'd walk into a building and they feel like eyes are on them. And
are you a believer now?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. You think it's the ghost of that guy who got electrocuted?
I believe so. I have the firm belief that if you die violently, you're pretty much going to stay where you die.
Yeah. Of course, you know, as you said, the plant is, what, 100 years old?
It was built back in the late 1800s.
I got to believe more than one person died on the job out there.
I'm sure. You know, it's, but things just happen out here.
Well, the only good thing about it is it sounds like he's a practical joker, and he's not too violent. So has anybody witnessed that? Any violence out there?
No. A couple of the security guards have gone to the back of the plant when it was all shut down, and they'd felt really uncomfortable about going into the building, so they just passed on it.
You know, for security guards who are tough guys, that is pretty scary.
Yeah. But I try to keep an open mind and let them know I'm not here to hurt them.
All right. You got it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Where are you?
My name is April, and I'm in Jacksonville, North Carolina.
Hi, April.
Hi.
Hi, April.
Hi. Oh, I should continue, shouldn't I?
Yes.
Sorry
yes.
about that. I wanted you and your listeners to know about domestic spying and what had happened to me and my family.
Domestic spying? So I can take that one of two ways. One way would be the government spying on you domestically, or your husband is doing this.
Oh, well, I'm referring to the government.
Oh, okay. All right. So what happened?
Well, I homeschool my children, and I had got in contact with this man about an educational display of a snake, you know, learning about reptiles. And I was on the phone with him, and the snake's name is 20 Pounds.
20 Pounds, that's his name?
Yeah, well, it was a female. Yeah, that was her name.
20 Pounds, okay.
Uh-huh. And, you know, because it was cold outside, you know, or kind of chilly, it was kind of with the timing with the snake. You don't want to bring a snake out in the cold. And I was asking questions like, is it going to threaten my children? Or are you going to take it out of its cage or whatnot? And anyways, 2 days later, there was a knock at my door, and these two men show up, and they're in plain clothes, and they identify themselves as police officers, and they tell me that they have proof that I'm a drug dealer.
What?
And that's what I said. I said, what? And I got very upset, and they were very animate about, quiet, quiet, keep it down. And they were looking around the street, making sure nobody could see that.
No, they were up to something. There's something weird here.
Yeah, well, you know, they said, we're here to search your house, and we could do this the easy way, or we could do it the hard way.
Did they flash you a badge?
Yeah, they did.
And did they show you a search warrant?
No, I asked them, I said, well, do you have a warrant? And they said, no, we don't, but that's not going to be a problem. And they said, if you don't let us in, there is a car parked on the other side of your house that will take your children away, and they will be, and they said this, so tied up in the DSS system that you may never see them again. So I'm a mother, and I was here with my three kids by myself, so of course I was like, fine, you know, go ahead and look through my house. I have nothing to hide. And so they came in and they destroyed my computer. They took it apart and they turned to me and they said, where's the 20 pounds? And I said, 20 pounds of what? And they said, well, 20 pounds of pot. And I said, no, I'm sorry. You know, I was a little bit relieved. You know, I was like, well, gosh, you know, if that's it, you got the wrong person.
They heard you talking about the snake.
Yeah.
20 pounds.
Yeah, and at one point, I said something like, oh, well, I know a snake named 20 pounds. And they didn't laugh at that at all. You know, they were
now,
like,
here's my question to you, though. How did they know that you were talking to somebody who owned a snake called 20 pounds?
I think, in my opinion, that they were tapping my line.
Why, tapping yours or tapping the owner of the snake?
I have no idea.
I mean, why would they tap your line in the first place?
I really don't know. I don't really do much.
No, to me, if I got a guess, assuming that you're on the up and up here, and I assume you are, that they have been monitoring the owner of the snake. And did you ever ask him why he called the snake 20 pounds?
Because he wanted it to be that big. He wanted to keep it around until it was old and weighed a lot. Like, it was a very big
thing. That is weird. And now you're okay. They've left you alone?
No. It gets worse because they came in and they were like, well, where's 20 pounds of mushrooms?
What?
And I was like, no, I don't have that. They go, well, where's the 20 pounds of cocaine? We're going to find it, so you might as well bring it out. And they were demanding that
So they go through your entire house. They don't find anything, right?
Right. Well, no, they didn't find anything, so they started pulling out stuff as evidence.
What do you mean it's evidence? Like what? What did you have there?
I had some antifreeze for my vehicle in my garage.
Well, so what's that used for? Other than killing people every once in a while.
Right, right. But they pulled it out, and we got charged with grow nutrients for cultivating marijuana.
Were you doing that?
No. No, the only thing that my children and I were growing was two tomato plants, and that was it. And we still have the equipment for growing these tomato plants, and they took the equipment, and by this time, let me tell you, it was in storage. It was not being used. It was, you know, put up on a high shelf.
Well, I got to tell you, this is the weirdest story I've ever heard. I hear a lot of them. Why they would harass you and come rolling in like that. I'm going to give you some advice. Get yourself an attorney, a good one, and tell them what has been going on. And let's end this so they don't continue to harass you, whoever they may be. I have a feeling it's not the law that's doing this. I think there's some people there that may think that you've been up to something or something. I don't think this is law enforcement. This just doesn't sound normal. It doesn't. Thanks for the call. West of the Rockies, very quickly, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George, Dan in L.A.
Hey, Dan.
I've talked.
Where'd you go? Hello? Dan, you there?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I've met with the devil before. You need to meet with him as soon as possible. You don't want to upset him. Don't look in his eyes. Bring a Bible. Try to quote some scripture. Don't get in any arguments with him. Don't sign any contracts. But you need to do it as soon as possible, because if you irritate him, he can be dangerous. He's a reptilian shapeshifter. He has supernatural powers.
Dangerous to me or everybody?
You. You need to do it as soon as possible. Just you know, give some money to your church. Bring a Bible. Get it over with. But you got to do it now. You've opened Pandora's box. You need to do it as soon as possible.
Oh, that's just what I need to hear. Just what I need to hear. Well, we're going to wrap this up. Let's say go to our East of the Rockies line. Do me a favor. Say goodnight to the world, would you? I love it. All right. Don't forget, Ian Punnett, 6 o'clock Pacific time until 10. And then we flip a switch and Art Bell comes in live from 10 until 2 Pacific time. So that's Saturday night. Sunday night will be Art. I'll be at the Conscious Life Expo in Los Angeles, bopping around this weekend. If you need some more information on that, just go to the coasttocoastam.com website and take a look at the link there. For Karis Coburn, Dan Galante, Steve Carr, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.